Brothers and sisters, last time we looked into why the grace, inspiration, and enlightenment and resolutions we receive do not always lead to life. If rice seedlings are planted carelessly, they are washed away or scorched by the sun. Using the example of rice planting, I talked about cases where people fail to engrave the grace and enlightenment deep in their heart and nurture them. When receiving God's grace, they confess, "I can change now. I've been changed." Yet, they actually bear little fruit. There are different ways of planting the grace we receive. Some treat grace as a one-time experience. Others keep the grace and enlightenment received only in their soul. You remember, right? You received grace at the time. And thankfully, after this sermon was over, and people said that I received a lot of grace. Yes, you received grace. And it's been 2 weeks. How did you engrave the message in your heart? So when you hear the message today, you have to reflect on yourself whether your grace has been one-time grace or same with the Sunday morning service. It's been several hours. Do you remember the message you listened in the morning? It was the first plague. If you don't remember what exactly you heard, this is a serious problem. No. Then your grace is like a one-time experience and it doesn't give you life, it doesn't give you strength. And there are also people who put that in the soul. Such people can teach others but don't apply the words to themselves, so they bear no fruit of change. They don't receive healing, blessing, and they don't receive the problems, resolutions. The way grace and enlightenment becomes life is by engraving them in the heart. This is the path to changing ourselves quickly. Which type are you among these? I pray that you won't stop at just receiving grace, but will fully bear fruit and life. Today, we will go over how to engrave the grace and realization we have received in our hearts. First, we must listen properly and keep it in mind. When we have a conversation, some people, even while they are talking with us, it seems that they are daydreaming. So we tell them, pay attention in the truth. You have to do so. We should not fall asleep or be distracted by idle thoughts. Listening properly means receiving the word or advice without judgment or fleshly thoughts. We should not think, that's right or that's wrong. This word is for me or that word is for someone. Nor should we choose what to accept, thinking, this is easy or that is difficult. When we accept every word as something we need and listen with an open mind, we are given enlightenment and great grace with the help of the Holy Spirit. Once we receive grace, we must not stop there, but keep it well. Keep it well. Namely, we must keep it in mind. Just as we remember an interesting movie and want to share it with others, we must not remember the grace we receive only for a while, but we'll hold on to it as unchanging grace. So, just as after we watch an interesting movie, we want to share it with others. We have to listen well and keep it in our mind. For example, let's say you received grace through the message on the love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love, it does not boast. You were deeply touched when you heard the explanation like patience means not getting irritated, pointing out faults, or disliking someone even when you see their weakness, but rather being patient. At first, you have to hold back your feelings, but as you control your feelings, pray, and cast off evil, you reach a stage where you don't even need to be patient, and you can change another person with true love. Then you realized, so I'm just talked about what it means to being patient, and you receive grace. Then you realized, right, even though I said I loved, I was not patient, you received grace. But after a week, though you still remember that you were touched by the message on love, you no longer recall the spiritual meaning of being patient. This thing, I delivered a message of grace and life 1-2 weeks ago. Even though you receive grace, some people forget it. Even though you were touched, you don't remember what you heard. This is not fault of the preacher, but you have to pay more attention, and you didn't keep close to the word. You received grace, didn't you? Even though you received grace, but you don't remember the content. You have to remember the content, reflect on yourself, examine yourself, cast off what you have to cast off. This is how you make the word yours. You have to first know the content, remember the content. But if you don't remember the content, how could you cast off evil? How could you accomplish goodness and love? How could you hold back? How could you, like, take care of the evil feelings? You have to remember how, you have to recall the word in your daily life. But if you don't remember the content, if you don't keep it in mind, even after you receive grace, some people don't even remember the title of the sermon, they don't, the content, then you cannot bring forth life and change and strength. Every week you receive grace, and you are very happy on Sunday, but you always stay the same. You cannot keep close to God. You cannot receive answers and blessings. And what is the problem? You have to remember the content. You have to be able to remember the content. That means you didn't cherish the words you heard. You have to examine yourself and fix that. The Bible explains this kind of situation well. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves." You hear. You receive grace because you hear. You receive grace. But you don't practice it. The Bible tells us not to become such a person. Yet many people, after hearing the word and receiving grace, misconceive that it has already become theirs. Because they receive grace, it has become theirs, it has become life. They have such misconceptions. That's not true. Grace is just grace. Grace, receiving grace, it's up to you to make that grace yours. That's why the Bible says that you shouldn't just become the hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Even if you hear the word, even if you have an awakening, even if you shed tears when hearing the gospel, hearing the message, James chapter 1 verse 23 and 24 tells us, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." You look at yourself in the mirror and your eyebrow looks weird and there is some stain on your hair. What should you do? You have to remove them. You have to fix that. You have to turn and fix that right away. But if you don't fix them, how shameful this is. This is just a physical appearance. But what about sins and evil in our heart? They lead us to death. But people soon forget them. Even after you realize evil and sin in your heart, even if you make a resolution, but when you go back, when you have some delicious food, you enjoy it and forget about it. Even though you have to digest the word you heard and you just forgot what you heard. You shouldn't let this happen. You have to fix this completely. Only then you could, after a year, after a while, you'll find yourself changed. You have to be changed. You have to find yourself changed. Like a month later, and people should say, "Our district leader, our cell leaders seems to have been changed." In the church, when our hearts are changed, people notice the change. And we look beautiful, more beautiful. We shine more brightly. And we are healthier. And when we say something, God's grace follows. And we also find ourselves, we also feel like we are changed. And we also, the God's answers come more quickly and we overflow with grace. Such changes have to, if you cherish the word and make it life and make it yours, such changes happen. Your life itself changes. You may complain like, "I met a wrong parents, I met a wrong life, I don't have any job, I don't have a good job, I'm poor and it doesn't seem to improve." Some people have those complaints. "I don't have any room for light to come into my life." No, once you let in the truth, once you let in the light, God will transform your life into light. First thing, you have to, and you will overflow with joy for heaven, and your way of life will be different. And also God will pour out the financial blessings. And after you make just a little after, Father God will give you much. Your life itself changes. Why should you miss out on this opportunity? Why should you hold on to the worthless, useless content, physical content? Why do you use many, many hours on and why do you forget what you heard on Sunday and forget about that? And why don't you cherish the words you heard? Just because you hear the message, that doesn't mean it becomes yours. Once you receive the... Therefore, in order to keep the grace and enlightenment received through the word, you have to repeatedly listen to the message in your daily life and engrave the grace again in your heart. For us to keep it in mind, for us to remember well, actually, as for me, I didn't think that I have a good memory, like memorize things. Back in the school, when teachers told us to memorize something, like a math formula, when we were told to memorize things, like a poem, I don't think I had a good memory, but I was good at memorizing God's word, and I was good at memorizing God's power and His word. And the way secret is, this is a secret to having good memory about God's word. I think it will help you with your life in the world as well. And you have to, if you don't remember things well, you have to listen repeatedly. Even if you receive grace, if you turn back and forget it, you have to listen again. You have to organize what you heard well. And some people may give an excuse, you don't have a good memory, but you have to listen again and again. Then it will, you can remember. Actually, the enlightenment and grace from a single sermon are not fully received in one hearing. As you listen again and again, you will find words you missed and gain deeper understanding of the message. Suppose you received grace and you see the grace through the sermon, and then as you repeatedly the words uploaded on GCN, you'll find yourself, anyway, you cannot remember or understand everything by just one hearing. So it helps you greatly to, when you listen and again, there are also limits to how much our brain and heart can remember the grace and enlightenment that we received. We are not genius. We cannot recall everything at once. That's why you need to repeatedly hear. That is why the Bible repeatedly urges us to keep God's word close in our daily lives so that we do not forget it. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verses 18 through 20 says, you shall put these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house, and you walk along the road, and you lie down, and when you rise up, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That doesn't mean you just write things on your forehead. That means you have to remember them. So we also told to memorize the verses. So as we memorize the verses, we can think about the spiritual meaning of the verses. And you have to listen and again and keep it in your heart and remember. Then they become yours. This is also Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 9 warns, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. The Israelites, when they departed from the word of God, they faced trouble. They have to remember them to make it not happen again. That's why God told them to teach the words to their sons and grandsons so that they can remember and recall the lessons, so that they will not forget them even when things became peaceful. As the saying goes, humans are creatures of forgetfulness. We forget things so easily. In your trials, in your difficulties, also you may have some difficulties by your own mistake. When you face difficulty, you repent and turn back, and then you have your problems resolved, and then you feel that you say things like, Father God, forgive me, I will never do that again. Please solve this problem. You earnestly prayed. You say things like, you discover things, your wrongdoings, and pray for them, repent of them, and you say things like, I will not do that. And you make a resolution not to pray without ceasing. And then you have your problem resolved. But when things become peaceful, you soon forget about your prayer. And so when things are peaceful, we have to remember them again. You have to remember how you faced trouble when things were peaceful. You have to cherish the words like you are holding on to your precious items. In the dark night, you... Like you cherish some, like when you're holding candles in the night, you'll be very careful with the candles. Like that, if you cherish the Word of God, it will give you life and change and strength naturally. But if you neglect the Word of God, if you don't consider them precious, if you don't make them in your heart, if you don't remember and recall them, but otherwise, you cannot, you don't know what, you don't even know what to pray. You just stagnate spiritually. But if we truly realize that God's Word is the Word of life, our source of eternal life, we must treasure it all the more, read and listen to it diligently, and make it our spiritual nourishment. That's how we can engrave the grace and enlightenment in our hearts. The second way is to engrave the grace and enlightenment in our heart, is to imprint them through heartfelt inspiration. First, it is to keep it in our heart. First way is to keep it in our heart, so you shouldn't doze off. You shouldn't daydream while listening to the sermon, and then you have to listen it again and again. This helps you keep it in mind. Second, it is to engrave the grace and enlightenment in our heart through heartfelt inspiration. Imprint them through heartfelt inspiration. To engrave them with feeling. In the Secrets to Studying Well sermon series, we learned that what you learn with feeling can be remembered well. In our life too, unforgettable memories remain not only as events, but as feelings. When we recall them, those emotions are revived. So, when we recall them, those emotions are revived. Though a mother's face may fade with time after her passing, the feelings that come to mind when we think of her are those of warm and tender love, often bringing tears to our eyes. Why? They are not just events, but we remember them with feelings and emotions. That's why we don't forget them. When we talk about the event, feelings and emotions are revived together. In the same way, when grace and enlightenment are engraved with heartfelt inspiration, they take root and never fade. Knowing that the Lord opened the way of salvation through the cross is one thing, but when we feel in our heart that He endured a suffering for our sins, it remains as unforgettable love. He got flogged, he wore a crown of thorns, he was nailed 3 cents of feet, and his body was covered in blood, and he suffered with his body covered. It was because of me, because of the sin committed in thoughts, he wore a crown of thorns. Because of sins committed in hands and feet, his hands and feet were nailed through. Because of my sin, so we don't forget his love. And they remain in our... That's why we... So that you can remember the Lord's suffering more vividly. Whenever we had the Easter performance, we described the Lord's suffering, His crucifixion, His walking up the Golgotha. That's why we did that. So that we can have more feeling, more emotions about His suffering. And about heaven, as we watch the performance about heaven, hear some messages about heaven and about the videos, that's why we can have develop greater hope for heaven, so that we can have more proper Christian life. Jesus' suffering, as we think about it, we can also apply the suffering to ourselves. Let's say you have some you got a cut while using a scissors or a knife, but he was flung all over his body. How painful it must have been for him. And it was all for me, a sinner. How tremendous his love is. We have to remember them with inspiration and emotions and feelings. So when you praise, you shed tears, and you feel God, the Lord's love more vividly. Brothers and sisters, words and thoughts without feeling are easily forgotten. For example, when someone points out your mistake, you may say, "I am sorry, I won't do it again." Yet later, you repeat the same mistake. That happens not only because you failed to keep it in mind, but because your apology carried no real meaning. You should keep it in mind and never do it again. But you don't, because your apology carried no real meaning. You didn't mean when you were apologizing. You apologized simply because you were rebuked. You did so without truly realizing or admitting your fault or resolving to change. That's why you failed to keep it in mind. Why did another person rebuke you? He doesn't want you to make the same mistake again, but you think that another person feels very regrettable, but you don't take it seriously. You don't even feel apologetic. You don't have regret. Some people have no feeling. They have, even after they make a mistake, they don't feel apologetic or regretful. Some people do that. They have to fix that. How? They have to think about how much harm they are bringing to another person by their mistake. And they have to think about how, when another person feels regretful, you also have to sympathize with them. And in our relationships with others, this is very important, especially also this is necessary when we repent before God. Even when a serious mistake causes harm to others or to their company, some people apologize without any sense of regret. But if you sincerely feel embarrassed and sorry in your heart, that feeling is engraved in your heart, then you will remember the important thing is not the just words themselves, but you have to feel you need to have those feelings and emotions. Of course, words are important, but what is more important than words is your feeling and emotion about feeling apologetic. Then you can engrave it in your heart even more deeply, because you And once you engrave it in your heart, you will not make the same mistake. Then you will remember your mistake and show change through action. It's the same when we repent before God. You say that, "God, forgive me." But if you just say, there's a difference between just saying, "God, forgive me," and feeling that you really detest sin and feeling that because you commit sins, you cannot go to a better dwelling place in heaven. So you hate your sin, detest your sin, and you need to have those feelings about your sin, your evil, and you repent and pray and then you will not commit sins again. It will greatly help you not to commit sins. But otherwise, because you just know that there are sins by your knowledge, because you know that in your head that you should not commit such sins, so you just merely say, Father, I got irritated, I got annoyed, please forgive me. And they feel numbed to their sins and evil. If you pray that way, Father God won't accept the prayer. And about the irritation, and you have to pray like, Father, I got irritated, I got upset, I made others feel, I gave others a hard time, I am so narrow-minded, I am so self-seeking. Father, you told us to rejoice always and give thanks, but I didn't have rejoice and thanksgiving, but I got... Father, please forgive me. If you pray this way, you will have deeper feeling and emotion about your sin, and then Father God will forgive you. But if you just physically say without sincerity, you have to feel that your sins are detestable, and you have to feel that you crucify the Lord again by committing sin. But our Lord is, you have to hold on to God with God and pray, and pray with tears and a runny nose. And because you feel so apologetic when you repent this way, when you have pray with such heartfelt inspiration, then you can be... Also, in discovering and casting out forms of evil, we must engrave things in our hearts with feeling to change ourselves quickly. As we listen to the word, we realize untruth and sin within us. When we worship in spirit and truth without distractions, we discover evil in us. But if we stop there, it only ends with, well, I have evil in me. But if we remember that grace, listen to the message again, and hold on to the enlightenment in prayer, we feel more deeply how dirty our evil is. Even the same evil as we pray about it, as we, after this sermon is over, I will talk about the meditation. And if you pray and meditate on the your forms of evil and listen to the message again and again, you will feel that the evil in you is detestable, and you find your sin so dirty and ugly, and that way you can cast them off. Let's say you have resentment in your heart. You feel upset when others don't and recognize you, and you lose your joy, and that repeatedly happens because they have resentment in their heart. When they discover resentment, they repent, and then they again feel resentment after a while, because you still have the roots of resentment in your heart. You have to realize that how narrow-minded having resentment is. How could I enter, advance to better dwelling place in heaven with such a feeling? You have to when you discover evil, and you, as you meditate and prayer, you see more of your sins than evil in the depths of your heart. When you see, and that's how you discover evil and cast it off. Just having realization is not everything. You have to meditate on it, pray on it, and fight against it. But if you have to discover the identity of your sins and evil, to do so, you have to make efforts. You have to. So that means they are engraved deeply. As you do that, you more deeply realize, let's say you have some resentment, and some people easily forget, but as I just explained, if you realize that resentment is a narrow-mindedness, resentment is you have like so that way you what's important in receiving feeling and inspiration needed to deeply engrave things in our heart is prayer and meditating. Prayer is, I will explain it in the next session. Prayer is like when you receive grace, then you have to hold on to the grace you received in prayer. As you pray, your feeling and emotion gets deeper and deeper. The Holy Spirit will give you, inspire you to deeply, let's say you have a trouble in your work heart. I mean, in your work, while working for God, you got trouble. Even after you work hard, you don't feel happy, but you feel tired. You don't even feel happy spiritually. That's the problem. And then that means you're not filled up with the Spirit. You have no joy. You discover that you have no joy. But if you stop there, you're stopped there. But you have to pray upon it. Father, even though I worked hard, I have no joy and gratitude, but I'm physically just tired and exhausted. Why is this problem? What's the problem? You have to pray upon it. Why such a thing is happening? As you pray that way, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. The Holy Spirit's voice is not a physical voice. And as you pray, Father God, the Holy Spirit will inspire you to say what you say in the prayer. I mean, for example, in the performing arts committee members. And like, let's say you're a performing arts committee member, and let's say you're a performing arts committee preparing for the anniversary, and when some of the members were late for the practice, you felt ill feelings, and because you felt ill feelings towards them, you have no joy and fullness of the Holy Spirit even after everything is over. The Holy Spirit gives you awakening. And the Holy Spirit will give you awakening the most proper way, and He will inspire you what you say in prayer. And you, when you, so that way you can plant the grace you received more deeply, deeply. And then you realize that you have to serve others more, respect others more, you have to speak with good words. As you repeatedly pray, you will discover and cast off more evil. This, so in order to do that, you have to hold on to the word and you need to pray. For example, suppose you discover ill feelings and realize that they stem from, originate from evil and narrow-mindedness. With God's grace, you have that enlightenment. But if you stop there, the grace ends without change. The grace ends without change. Enlightenment is only the beginning. Once you receive grace, you must reflect on yourself in light of the word and pray. You have to make it your daily prayer topic and examine yourself. You have to apply the word in your life to yourself. Once you receive grace, like you have some awakening, you have some resolution while listening to the word, then that shouldn't be the end. You have to consider it your textbook and apply the message in yourself, in your life. And you have to discover the differences between your life and the word as you meditate on it and meditate. And you have to pray in detail about that. You have to during the Sunday morning service, we are just beginning the 10 plagues. You also have an enlightenment, like as you lead a Christian life, some people complained, some people said that, but I said that God's word does not bother us. God's word does not distress us. But He wants to receive blessing and by living in the light. But you discover your complaints. And if you discover that, you have to repent. And I also talked about the hardened hearts of the King Pharaoh. And even though there was 10 plagues, as they as King Pharaoh, so you have to think about yourself as well. In light of the word, you have to reflect on yourself, whether you have some hardened heart. Even after receiving advice and a rebuke, did you give a rebuke? Did you refuse to admit yourself? You have to pray holding on to the word. That's how you engrave things in your heart with feelings and emotions. When you pray, reflecting on your daily life, your character, your way of living, and even your upbringing in light of the word, you discover so much in yourself. You ask someone for a favor for your own benefit, and if he doesn't grant your request, you feel uncomfortable and even think he is in the wrong. Seeing how self-seeking and narrow-minded you are, you feel uncomfortable without the word truth of the knowledge. As we learned the word of the truth, we know that we are in the wrong. We made a request, and then we felt uncomfortable. That's, you realize that once you realize things, and you have to you made a request to another person and another person didn't grant it, so you felt uncomfortable. Even after someone made a fault, you shouldn't feel uncomfortable. But in this case, you made a request and just because he rejected it, you felt uncomfortable. This is so evil. So as you pray, you realize your fault. In the past, you always looked at others, but now you examine yourself and discover sins and evil deep in your heart. So grace is built upon evil. Grace is built upon grace. and you realize how self-seeking and narrow-minded you have been. Because of the prayer and because of the meditation, you have that awakening. Without that, you just... But if you hold on to the words you've heard and discover how you have ill feelings in your daily life, meditate on them, and then the Holy Spirit will give you some awakening. He will let you know that you are seeking your own benefits. You realize more about your attitude, and then you repent, and then you begin to feel apologetic, and you pray earnestly to repent from the heart and cast up these things. That's how you grow, improve. Through such process and effort, ill feelings are thrown away. The same goes for all other kinds of evil. So, just because you listen to a lot of words, just because you receive grace, evil are not thrown away. You have to repeatedly listen to the word and apply them in your life and discover sins and evil and pray upon it, meditate on them, and then you begin to feel that sins and evil are detestable and you want to cast them off desperately, and you feel ashamed about yourself, and you... That doesn't mean you will have low self-esteem. And you pray that way, and you truly repent, you are filled up with the Spirit. And that way, as your prayer builds up and efforts are made, they are cast off. Then the grace of the word has become life in you. There's a great difference between it's up to you to make the word yours. Let me give you another example. Regarding feelings of resentment, you reflect on yourself in light of the word and pray. After you volunteer and devote yourself, if no one recognizes you or praises you, you feel upset and discouraged. So, your faithfulness doesn't last long, but easily wavers. Before, you thought that you stopped working because you didn't get along with others despite your hard effort, but as you hold on to the word in prayer and examine yourself, you realize that you felt upset because you didn't get praise and recognition and had a change of heart. Such awakening is very crucial. You thought that other people were wrong, but you find that you are wrong. Even when another person does wrong, there's no need to feel uncomfortable. As the Baba says, if you... But the man of truth, when another person, and they will just pray. And if you give excuses, you would say things like, "Father, because the church is in trouble, I complained. So please forgive me." This is giving excuses and reason, and this is justifying yourself despite your circumstances or environment. Should you stop praying? Should you stop being faithful? You shouldn't give an excuse that because another person gossiped about me, I gossiped about him, spoke ill of him. And As you pray with the Holy Spirit, you and the Holy Spirit makes you realize that you gossiped about him because you had envy and jealousy. Because another person did something great, you felt envy and jealousy. And because such ill feelings have built up, you gossiped about that person. Let's say you have someone whom you love. As soon as she makes a mistake, would you speak ill of her? No. That means when you gossip about a person, when you have, if you, because you compare yourself to others, because you have such evil attributes, many evil attributes. So what kind type of, and as you pray, the Holy Spirit will give you awakening why things happened. So this is a great. There are many kinds of, and the Holy Spirit does the job. And like, if you have a counsel, and you may wish you always have a counsel beside you, but that's not possible. You have a lot of evil attributes, and the Holy Spirit has to help you. And then you have, and you realize that envy and jealousy, and you have arrogance, and you have, and then you begin to feel that sins are detestable and desperately want to throw them away. If you make such efforts, if you do so, why wouldn't your sins and evil be cast off? If you have such desperate heart, if you such have earnestness, you that and once you you have to know how desperate you've been, how earnest you've been in casting off sins. You have to examine yourself that way. You have this way to and as you hold on to the word, apply it to yourself, meditate and pray, you can gain a deeper understanding and experience greater grace. In the process, the truth is engraved deep in the heart. In turn, you begin to hate evil and become desperate to cast it off quickly. When you don't forget the grace and enlightenment you received, but meditate with prayers of the heart amidst the Holy Spirit's grace, it is engraved in your heart with feeling and emotion. Once things are engraved this way, they're not easily forgotten. The Bible gives an example of someone who inscribed the word of God's grace and blessing in her heart. She is the Virgin Mary. When the shepherds came to worship baby Jesus, they shared what the angels had said about Jesus. The people who heard it were merely amazed. But as is written in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Being such a woman, she was chosen by God. We too want to plant the word we hear, the grace and the enlightenment in our heart. So we attend a service without dozing off, pray without ceasing, read the Bible, and memorize the verses. But some say that they're not well planted in their minds and hearts. What's the problem? Is it poor memory? As I told you, the way to the know-how to keep the word in mind. The problem, the real issue is that their hearts and minds are filled with many unnecessary things. In short, there are idle thoughts. Even when people sit together and hear the same message, some remember it well, while others mix it with their own thoughts or forget it completely. They all listen earnestly without dozing off, But why is there such a difference? While the ability to listen and remember may vary, in most cases, it is because their hearts and souls are already filled with other things. Let me give an example. After washing, ironing, and folding shirts, ties, socks, pants, and skirts, you can put them in your closet. If your closet has been well organized, all you need to do is open it, place each item in its place, shirts with shirts, socks in their drawer, and jackets in hangers. But if the closet is messy, you don't know where to put the freshly washed and ironed clothes, because worn clothes, socks, and t-shirts are all tangled together. So you don't know where to put the freshly washed clothes. If you just stuff them in, they will wrinkle again and be hard to find later. If they're well organized, after you have them cleaned and dry cleaned, you can just put them in its place. No difficulty. But as you, I am delivering this message, I'm trying to prepare the message well, like the fleshly washed clothes. I'm trying to deliver the message like the fleshly washed clothes. So if you listen attentively, you have to listen to them and put them in. You have to like organize them well, and you have to, but if you have worldly things filled in your heart, so that's why the word is not put in your heart, not well organized, because so you cannot organize the message well. The same goes for your hearts and minds. If they are filled with the worldly things, it's hard to focus and worship in spirit and truth on Sunday. If you are focused on worldly pleasure, worldly amusement, worldly trends, worldly useless worldly things filled in your heart, and when you worship, you begin to doze off, you begin to feel drowsy, or you begin to daydreaming, you cannot experience His grace and life, and you just go home without grace and life. And this is a big problem. The fleshly things we've seen and heard during the week come to mind as idle thoughts, making it difficult to receive grace. Even if we do receive grace from the sermon, there's no room in our mind or heart to hold it. As I told you, so you need to be ready to put the word in your heart or in an organized way. If you what do you watch on your cell phone? When you are so much into politics, sometimes, and what about young people? What are you watching? And what you watch remain, they are just filled in your heart. That's why even if you receive grace, they are not placed in your minds and heart. And as we go out to the world and don't recall the grace we received, it easily fades away. Some people don't even try to recall them. How could you? Do you have such a good memory? How can you remember all after hearing one? Just remember the prayer topics of the new year. First was a march forward, and second, what was the second prayer title? Once you receive grace, you have to recall them, hold on to them in prayer, and then it has become yours. But if you have, if you don't do that, what you heard on Sunday will go away, disappear. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says, "For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it." They just drift away. Even after you receive grace, the grace drifts away. Therefore, if we truly long for Spirit, for New Jerusalem, and for the growth of faith, we must empty our hearts and minds of worldly things and untruth. We should also be careful about what we see, hear, and feel in our daily lives, discerning whether it is a truth or untruth. What we see and hear are stored in our heart and mind, and they rise up as idle thoughts when we listen to the message or pray. They leave no space for the truth. Thus, we must stop filling ourselves with fleshly things. Once we have engraved the grace and enlightenment in our hearts through prayer and enlightenment, thirdly, we have to keep and practice them to make them life. When we put them into action, grace and enlightenment become life and take firm root in our heart. We say things like, knowledge of the truth in our head should come down to the heart. And for it to take firm root in your heart, you need to put the word into practice. Earlier, we talked about recognizing ill feelings, evil, and deeply engraving that realization in our hearts. But if we stop there, that realization becomes like a thorn stuck in the flesh. How painful it would be to have a thorn in your fingertip. Likewise, when the word reveals the evil in us, we know we must cast it off. But if we make no effort to do so, it only brings agony. However, if we make efforts to cast it off through action, it will surely be removed. For instance, a person who used to seek their own benefits must now correct themselves by speaking and acting in ways that do not demand their own benefits. Some people habitually make demands, habitually make requests, "Do this for me," but it's actually seeking his own benefits. So when things are really necessary, we have to politely make requests, but otherwise, we have to try to do it ourselves. That way, we can serve others. And when old habits come out, they should be like, "No, I will do it for you." At the same time, they should seek ways to sacrifice and serve for others' benefits, praying that they would have no desire to get compliments. As we make such specific efforts and pray without ceasing, holding on to the word, we can cast off any kind of evil. For example, at the summer retreat, we saw and heard God's power and were filled with the joy through many testimonies. Yet, we must go beyond just receiving grace and achieve growth of faith. What should we do? Even though we used to complain and lament in the face of a hardship or unexpected trial, once we have seen and experienced amazing power and engraved the grace in our heart, changes have to be made. We should recall God's power in trouble, in the face of trouble. So when you receive grace, you have to pray as well, like, "Father, I witness God's power. Please make them my faith. In the face of a trouble, let me recall them and overcome the trouble with that memory." Then, when in the face of trouble, they are recalled. And as we reflect on things with faith, this thought comes to mind: "The Almighty God who did such impossible things is my Father. If He helps me out, this problem is nothing." as we turn worries and concerns into thoughts of faith and repent of having failed to live out a word and receive God's protection, the grace and inspiration from the summer retreat will manifest in our daily lives. That way, our faith grows and the grace becomes life. Let me conclude the message, brothers and sisters. Psalm chapter 126, verse 5 says, "Those who sow in tears will shall reap with joyful shouting. A farmer who sows in spring and endures scorching sun, drought, floods, and storms rejoices at harvest time and reaps abundant fruit. Likewise, your tears and efforts for transformation will surely bear the fruit of sanctification and eternal life. And this glory cannot be compared with any wealth, honor, power, or happiness of the world. Our good Father God has endured with love and patience during the 6,000-year human cultivation to obtain two children. We must come forth as the fruit of that grace. I pray in our Lord's name that you will not lose the grace you have received, but engrave it in your heart and diligently act accordingly, thereby having life and abundant fruits."
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.